Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am, however, just Doug, and I'm sitting in for Bob as Bob is off. Where is Bob off to? He's in Chicago. He's at a big super secret meeting of the super secret organization to which he belongs. And we're not going to say anything more about that. Now, if you want to call and talk on the show, well, first of all, let me start with this instant messaging. Instant messaging? Messaging? I've never done this before, but I think I've got it running. But if you want to IM me, you should probably just call, because I'm not sure if I can manipulate this thing. I don't know how it works. I've never done it. KGovLive@AOL.com is the IM address. But more importantly, the phone number if you want to call and participate. Maybe I should throw something out before I give the number. I was debating whether or not to start with news of the day or with some email stuff, some more biblical stuff. And I think I'll start with the biblical stuff. And this will give people an idea of who I am and where I come from and all that. Since you're not hearing the normally mellifluous voice of Bob Enyart and you're hearing some strange person, let's see, my instant message is doing something here. Oh, okay. We'll walk you through the show. I got an instant message. Look at that. I don't know how to respond there, Pierce Jeep or whatever, but thank you. The instant messaging is working. I can read. It's probably one-way communication. So it'd be better if you call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. But before you call, hold on and listen to this. Maybe you'll want to talk about this. Hello, Doug. I listen to your show. That's right, folks. I do a show over on KGOV.com, the Weekly Worldview. You can check it out any old time. Dear Doug, I listen to your show, and I add them to my list right alongside Bob Enyart Live. You're different, but you're on the same page for the most part. For the most part, he says. Anyway, he says, Doug, I hear you running your mouth about the draft. That's the military draft, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, I have endorsed a military draft of these nose ring wearing punks who are hanging out at the Van skate park. I have publicly stated that I'm for a draft of those type of young guys, right? He says, Doug, how come you're not familiar with the book of Deuteronomy about the rules of warfare? You don't force people into military service. Doug, I love America, but I would never fight an unjust war simply because I was drafted to do so. And this guy's name is Gary, by the way. Gary says it's wrong because God has made it clear that men who do not wish to fight should not be made to do so. And I'm wondering, Gary, I need a verse. Give me something. Give me a scripture verse. Are you talking about the Gideon story? Or where are you coming from Deuteronomy? Because I'm obviously not familiar. But this is something that I want to take under advisement. Because Gary says quite rightly, the Communist Party and the communist countries love the draft as it gives them followers by force to carry out their evil works. And I agree with Gary that communists are evil. But I'm not sure about the draft, but I'm willing to consider it. By the way, Gary says, Doug, I know Israel has a draft, but this in no way makes it proper or correct. They also have women in the military, so we can tell they're not exactly concerned with what God has said. Please review this idea. And Gary, I am reviewing the idea. But you got to give me some scripture verses to work with here so we can get started. But we'll work this out, me and Gary. Gary's a pretty solid guy. He's a big-time listener and supporter of Bob Enyart Live, and I'm so happy to be sitting in as Bob jets off to Chicago. So happy to be sitting in with the brightest audience in the nation. So I've got my first instant message. Do I have to do something to get rid of this one so I can get another one, or will they just pour in? They'll just keep pouring in. But I don't know how to answer them, so maybe I won't mention them on the air. It depends. If you send something really funny or good, I'll mention it on the air. All right, now, on to news of import. By the way, the number to call, if you want to call, and on my other show, The Weekly Worldview, I never take calls. I never take calls, so this could be your only chance to ever talk with me, as there's a good chance that after today and tomorrow, I could be banned from the network for life. This could be your only chance. Call 800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART if you have something to offer, if you bring something to the program. If you don't have anything to offer, you worked hard all day, hey, sit back and relax. I got it all under control. You're going to have a good time. All right, last night on Bob Enyart Live, as I was listening, as I am often wont to do, Bob made a great point about Iraq and North Korea. And I want to introduce this by starting with the big news from today. The Blix Brigade over in Iraq, you know, Hans Blix, and all the overweight cross-dressing freaks who are our weapons inspectors over in Iraq, all those guys handpicked from S&M clubs by the United Nations. Yeah, all those guys. Today in Iraq, Hans Blix's boys stumbled upon some weapons. Let's just say of suspicious origin and state, and something strange was going on there. From the Reuters wire just moments ago, UN weapons inspectors found empty chemical warheads during an inspection of a storage area in Iraq today, according to an unspokesman in Baghdad. That's a United Nations spokesman, otherwise known on these airwaves as an unspokesman. That's what they say. They found some empty chemical warheads. I'm driving into the studio, and I hear a quote from Dan Rather on the radio news, the top of the hour news. Dan Rather says that this is, quote, an indication that Saddam Hussein could be lying, unquote. See, that's why Dan Rather makes the big bucks. That's right. That's why he's got the big network anchor position, because he's one of those deep and perceptive thinkers. He provokes us to think just by his brilliant observations. Dan Rather, where would we be without him? I'm so glad to have him around. Anyway, but this is a relatively meaningless story. I mean, the die has been cast as far as Iraq goes. There's going to be an attack sometime between, say, January 20th and Valentine's Day, give or take. Something's going to happen. Something's going to go down. Because you can only make war effectively in that part of the world, you know, January, February, March. Other than that, it gets really nasty. And our troops don't really need that. So, you know, W's gearing up, and we're pretty much going in. Whether or not Dan is correct about Saddam lying or not, I think George W. Bush has pretty much made up his mind. And someone, I believe, called into the show last night complaining that we should be attacking North Korea. And I thought Bob made a brilliant point. Hey, you know, we don't have to solve every problem at once. We don't have to take on every dictator at the same time and feel somehow morally inadequate if we don't. We don't have to do that as a nation. We don't have to do everything at once. We don't have to solve all the evils at once. Now, I myself was, I was less than excited about W's decision to go ahead and start with Iraq, you know, unless he may have a strategy. You know, that's the thing about Bush. All the Bush supporters are always telling me that, you know what, he's just smarter than he looks and it sounds and walks and quacks. He's a lot smarter, and he's got a lot of plans, a lot of things going on behind the scene. And so he's going to warm up the troops maybe in Iraq, and then perhaps then it's on to North Korea and eventually send the Marines to Planned Parenthood. It's listener-supported radio right here at KGOV and on our network affiliates all around the country. We need your support here in Denver. We've been trying to drum up 20 supporters. 20 is all we need, and we've got 13. And we need 20 people to pledge to give $100 a month to Bob Benyart Live to keep the show on the air, to help keep this ministry going forward and growing. We want to stay on the air in Denver. It's sort of our flagship station. We really like being on in Denver. Plus, because this is the only way my wife gets to listen to the show is if we stay on in Denver. So, I mean, I'll come up with a little money myself just to keep the wife, just so she can have something to listen to. But we could use your help, too. Could you be one of the final seven to put us over the edge to keep us on the air in Denver, Colorado? And the fact is, folks around the country, you folks in Indiana, you folks out in Massachusetts, where else, Nathaniel? I'm not up to date on all the affiliates that we may or may not have at this point. But all of you around the country, we need your help. New Orleans, Louisiana, we need your help. Call the show, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Call and pledge. Give a one-time gift. If you've got a large piece of property that you can sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars and send the money in here, we would love you to do that. You could do that just once. You don't have to pledge to do that every month. But if you can only spare $20, $50, $100 a month, call the show. Look at your budget, folks. How much is this ministry worth to you? $20 a month, $30, $50, $100 a month, a large piece of property worth $500,000, you decide for yourself, pray about it, and let the peace of God reign in your heart and help keep this ministry on the air. 1-800-8-NYARD. It's listener-supported radio, 800-836-9278. And we're back in the live spot. Now we're going right to our internet audience. And I want to start with the video that may be credited for changing my pathetic life. It's a video called God and the Death Penalty. And I ordered it from a guy named Bob Enyart many, many years ago when I was a young, ignorant heathen. Yes, even me. I watched God and the Death Penalty because one thing I knew, even being a moronic, slack-jawed heathen, I knew that the death penalty was right. I wasn't sure why, and also I knew that there must be a God. I knew there must be a God, and I was probably not making him very happy. Well, I watched God and the Death Penalty, and Bob Enyart goes through the Bible and brings out some characteristics about our God, the true and living God, and his sense of justice and mercy in God and the Death Penalty that'll just blow you away. Call and order it. I don't know how much it is, but it's worth twice as much. 800-8-ENYART. We're back. It's Bob Enyart Live. I am Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview at KGOV.com. That's the only place you can get it because I've been banned from the broadcast airwaves for life. And it looks like we have a caller. And this is almost as bad as the instant message. Let's see if I can handle the caller. We're going to go to Larry in Indianapolis.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
I am doing so great, Larry. I'm so happy to be sitting in.
Hey, it's getting harder and harder to defend Bush, ain't it?
Well, you know, George W. Bush has never struck me as a man who is going to be remembered centuries from now as a great leader. But,
you know,
he may prove me wrong.
You know, he talked about Saddam gassing his own people.
He did. George Bush talked about that?
Yeah, he's cruelly gassed his own people.
Right.
Well, we need to think about what the United States, especially under his father and Reagan, y'all, the person that the Republicans worship, Ronald Reagan, should remember that they got the crack started in this country through the Contras distributing crack cocaine in our country. Just think of the lives that have poisoned.
So that was Reagan that was behind
that was
all
Reagan
that crack.
Wait a minute. Bush.
Larry, are you saying it was Reagan that was behind the crack epidemic?
Well, he allowed them to bring cocaine into this country and sell it so they could supply weapons for the Contras.
All right,
did he
bring any in on Air Force One himself?
Well, sure. His silence and it means you comply with something, just like a lot of other things that are going on now.
Well, I thought you were going to make a great point, Larry,
about abortion or something, but you really lost me with Reagan and the crack. People, just like the Greeks done. And they're not living up to what you're trying to deify him for.
Well, I never tried to deify Ronald Reagan, but I just never thought he brought any crack over. All right, Larry, if you would have said Clinton had crack in the plane, I would have probably cracked up.
Well, but you're going to keep on. Bush is going to beat you down. Only reason why you love him because he's your sweet pimp.
He's pimping
you no matter how bad he beats you, you're still going to come back to him. When he gets through beating you with Homeland Security and paying for this war that they're getting ready to fight, and he getting them boardrooms and start shuffling papers, there's going to be a heck of a price to pay. Anybody in their right mind knows that it don't take no 200,000 troops to beat up Saddam Hussein.
And Larry, you may or may not be correct on that issue, but I was just getting tired of that phone call, frankly. You know, Larry's the kind of guy, he kind of starts strong, but then, I don't know, you lose me, Larry. But I think that if we need to get the kinks out of our weapons, that Iraq's, one thing about Iraq that I'll say, it's a fairly good target range. I mean, if you just look at it, you know, strategically and tactically, not a bad place to warm up. And one thing I can say about the North Koreans is they're not just a bunch of, camel jockeys who are going to run for the hills at the first sign of a fight. Although, if we handle it properly and our troops are well warmed up and ready to go, then, well, perhaps we can pretty much just march into Baghdad and, whatever. We'll trap Saddam underground till he dies. And then it's on to North Korea. And who knows, eventually, perhaps Planned Parenthood. Let's go to Ada, Oklahoma. No, let's try Ada, Oklahoma then. And Gary, speak your mind.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Gary. Is this the Gary of email fame?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No.
Well, this isn't the this
isn't. I emailed, but it was a different Gary.
Oh, I thought I was just getting ready for a major theological clash, but I'm breathing a sigh of relief. It's another Gary.
I was going to call you when you first started the show and ask you, what are you going to do if Larry calls?
No.
And then he beat me to it.
Gary, I got to tell you, I'm getting a little rusty. I didn't recognize that it was that Larry. And we love Larry, don't get me wrong.
I can barely hear you. I might have to go to someplace quiet.
Is that a screaming baby in the background? Look
My
at that.
Son's crying.
He can't even hear me over the screaming child.
Okay.
Now, who is this? This isn't Larry on the phone, right? This is Gary.
Right.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
So, I was going to call you when you first said you might want to call. People might want to call, and I was going to call in and say, what are you going to do if Larry calls? And then,
we're trying to get a Larry filter.
And then he called.
And I love Larry, except that he's just a total whack job, and he's just totally insane sometimes. But
Doug,
you know what? I'm kind of that way sometimes myself.
Doug, there must be something wrong with my phone. I can barely hear you.
Is there something wrong with Gary's phone, or is my sound man not paying attention to the soundboard? That's the question. See, check this out, Gary. I'm looking out at my sound man. He has no idea what's going on. He has absolutely no clue. He's not paying attention to the show, and for all I know, I'm not even going out. Can you hear me at all, Gary?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
No, Gary, I'm just giving my sound guy a hard time. Because you know what? He's multitasking. But now, is Larry the only reason you called, Gary?
That's the only reason.
All right, well, then you've got to bring something about Larry that gives us, that is of some redeeming quality. It's got to give your call some
like
redeeming
three
value.
Three times in the past, before this.
Oh.
And remember when Bob, he named his show Dumber Than a Cucumber or something like that?
I saw that title, but I hadn't actually had a chance to listen
that
to that.
It was hilarious.
Is that all about Larry?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, Gary. Well.
But I listen to your show, too.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate it. And
I was the Gary that emailed in and said that my name is Gary, too, and I also listen to your show, and you have more listeners than you think.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I've dropped off to about 11.
The Gary that you was talking about at the beginning of the show.
So I got two Garys. What are the odds of that? I only got 11 listeners, and two of them are named Gary. What are the odds of that happening? What's your position on the draft, Gary?
On the draft?
Yeah, you heard recently that Al Sharpton called for the draft.
No,
you didn't hear that?
That?
The first time in history I've ever agreed with Al Sharpton in my life. That's when I started trying to rethink my position. Figured I might be wrong if this guy...
I hadn't thought about it before, but now that you mentioned something, I don't guess right now. I'm totally opposed to the idea.
You're not totally opposed? All right, well, keep listening to the show, Gary. We're going to let you go and move
on.
What's
your position?
What's my position on the draft?
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong because Al Sharpton came out and said it was right. And so now I'm thinking, I better look into this. So, Gary, you look into it, I'll look into it, and we'll talk again later, all right?
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks for your call. Folks, the number, we got a line free. It's 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you want to call in and participate in the program, or you can just sit back and relax, and I will entertain and educate you to the best of my abilities. The biggest story, by the way, folks, of I don't know, my adult life happened over this past week when Illinois Governor George Ryan stood up and, he emptied death row out there in Illinois, and it's just a stunning turn of events. I don't know Bill, George Ryan's political history or affiliation or anything about the guy, but I am just in shock that in Illinois he decided to pardon four convicted murderers, and he also decided to commute the sentences of well over 100, if I'm not mistaken, convicted murderers, rapists, kidnappers, just the lowest forms of scum on the planet. And he's commuting their sentences to life, and he's going to allow them to live. So I'm going to throw this question out to the audience. If maybe someone out there can help me with this, what is worse? What is a greater sin or a greater evil, to put it in secular terms, to execute one innocent man or to allow 100 murderers to live? Which is the greater sin? And I'll leave that to the audience to answer. Let's go to Plymouth, Indiana. Ryan, speak your mind.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, Ryan.
It's good to hear that Bob's on air. I used to help him out here in South Bend with the television show.
Oh, those were the days, huh?
Yeah, those midnight tapings.
Oh man, and you'd get all those homos who stayed up late at all those rave parties calling in, you know. Hey, and Bob even converted a couple of them. Praise the Lord, man! Those were the days, I tell you.
Yeah, but I didn't realize he was. You know, I knew he was doing something for the Lord. I didn't know where his ministry is at. So, can you brief me a little bit on what's going on with him now? And
well, Bob's built an underground bunker complex, and he's trying to establish his own government. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. Bob,
you got to be careful saying stuff like that. You know, some people will hear that and consider that gospel.
Okay, well, that was not the gospel truth. That was a joke. Although I am currently below ground level. That's the only truth to that. Okay? But actually what happened was Bob left the television program to focus more on a biblical ministry and started a church here in Denver, which the church is flourishing and it's just doing fantastic. A lot of great young families who need a teacher and who need a pastor to guide them a lot more than all those late night raving homos out in Notre Dame. And so Bob's focusing his energies here, building a base of support, and you know, eventually down the road, I know that Bob hopes to do television again and to keep expanding the radio ministry, but we're focused on the church, and we do our ministry through the internet and our radio affiliates, and just couldn't be happier. Things are going great.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. I'm going to sure tune in and listen to him here. He's on at 9 o'clock out here, so I sure will. Hey, just to come in on your question that you're going to pose, I believe that it is worse to murder the one innocent man than it is to let the 100 go free.
Okay. So you believe it's worse, it's a greater sin to execute one innocent man than to allow 100 murderers to live?
Yes, I do.
And you base that on just a gut feeling, your life experience, or...
I think a little bit of that, and also I base that on, I don't believe, as you pose the question, that it's a sin to murder a innocent person, but it's not necessarily a sin to allow those 100 to go free if it's not my place to...
Ryan, let me put it to you this way. Let's say your name wasn't Ryan, but your name was George Ryan, and you're the governor of Illinois. What is a greater sin on the part of the governor of Illinois, presiding over the execution of one innocent man or allowing 100 murderers to live?
I would still go with my gut.
Okay, you're going to go with your gut. So that's one vote for the murderers. And I don't mean that, okay, you know, I'm not trying to put you down here, Ryan. Okay, I'm
going
to tally this up, and through the broadcast, maybe I'll figure out an answer. I'll figure out which way the wind's blowing, find out, I'll poll the people, and try to come up with an answer by the end of the program. So stay tuned, okay?
I will.
All right, Ryan, thanks for your call.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
All right, and it's Bob Enyart Live, the number to call, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about a wonderful audio tape album, a Bible study that was done down at Denver Bible Church not so long ago, and it was a study through the book of Genesis. Now, there are 6 Genesis albums, appropriately enough, if you're into numerology, and, you know, they range in price from, I don't know, $30 up to $45. Some of them have 4 tapes, 6 tapes, 8 tapes. But you start with Genesis, you start with the creation, obviously, right? We've got an album on the creation, a six-tape album. Talks all about origins, evolution, science. It's awesome. It'll blow your mind how much evidence there is for young Earth creationism. It will astound you, the evidence that's been right there before you your whole life. You just haven't been able to recognize it. Bob Enyart goes into the Bible and helps us to find these evidences so that we can defend the idea that indeed, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then, the album On the Fall. Incredible. Incredible album talking about things like when did Adam and Eve and Lucifer fall? And was the fall of man a predestined thing that had to happen? Or is it something that was the result of real live free will and a real true live living God? Some tremendous and fascinating stuff when you consider the fall of man. The third album, The Flood, talks about, there's a study on baptism slid in there, and that's super secret, but I'm going to let it out here. If you want to know all about baptism, all you ever wanted to know about baptism, get The Flood album. And then there's also tons of great geology, and all you guys who like rocks and dirt and things like that, my wife always says, Doug, why do you get so excited about rocks and dirt? And I always say, well, if you're willing to sit and study it long enough, it glorifies the living God. And of course, she finds other ways to glorify God, raising my daughter and cooking. Boy, does she glorify God when she cooks. Anyways, but The Flood, back to The Flood. There's a lot of evidence for the flood, stuff that you wouldn't have been able to put two and two together before. The flood biblically gives you the information so that you can defend not only the creation, but the account of the flood as well. And then the Genesis series moves on to Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac, the fascinating story of how Abraham nearly sacrificed Isaac at the command of God. What's behind all that? What's all that about? Well, it's a fascinating story, and the Abraham and Isaac album covers that, and you'll learn a lot of new things. The Life of Jacob is the fifth album, and finally, The Life of Joseph, who's my favorite guy in the Bible, 800-8-ENYART. All right, we're back. It's Bob Enyart Live. Going worldwide on the World Wide Web, and of course, all our loyal affiliates out there. If I had a list in front of here, I'd name you all, but I love you all, and we love the Information Radio Network, and we thank all those guys up there who work so hard every day at Information Radio Network to get the truth out, and we just appreciate them getting this small segment or small portion of the truth, or the best we can do to get at the truth, to get it out day by day, every weekday. It's just exciting. Thank you to all the affiliates out there. Thanks for everyone tuning in on the web. And now let's talk politics with Joe from Parts Unknown. You're on the air, Joe. Or is she? Line two. Oh. Joe from Parts Unknown.
Hi.
I hung up on line one, Joe.
I'm still here.
That's okay. Hey, Joe, you know what?
What?
My audio guy, my crack staff, he spelled your name J-O, so I assumed you were a girl.
Oh.
I apologize.
No problem.
Okay. As long as you're okay with that, we can go forward.
It makes no difference to me what they call me.
What's happening, Joe?
Well, I get to listen to the show every once in a while. I don't have the opportunity to listen every night. But I was under the impression that this was a faith-based show. But it sounds like, I'm getting the impression that it's more political than anything else.
Really? Well,
yes.
You know, the Bible is a fairly political book. I mean, God lays down the structure. Wait a second now. God lays down the structure for civil government. He lays down a criminal law. That's fairly political stuff.
Okay.
And I think that the retreat of Christians from the political debate has caused our nation and our culture great harm.
I don't read anywhere in the Gospels that Jesus debated Roman law.
I'll agree with you there. I suppose. But what about Paul? What about Paul?
He didn't debate Roman law either.
Sure, he did. He invoked his Roman citizenship and demanded to be taken to Caesar.
Well, that's a benefit of being a citizen. He didn't question Roman law.
Well, I'm just saying he invoked a political state in order to achieve his goals. And so what are you driving at here, Joe? Do you think that Christians should just forget about politics and just...
No. I was just under the impression that this was a faith-based show.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something about faith, Joe. Let me tell you something about faith. When young kids are raised up in this country and we want to teach them that there's God and that there's justice, but then they watch television or they hear in the news that Governor George Ryan has emptied death row and let hundreds of murderers live and even freed some murderers from prison. He's a governing official who has a real live impact on the lives of people. And his worldview is clashing with mine, and I'm trying to raise my child in a godly way, and now I have to explain this. Well, I want to be able to explain it to my kids and to anyone who will listen that there really is a God and there really is justice, and Governor George Ryan is an example of Antichrist. This is an Antichrist spirit that would allow these murderers to live.
I don't necessarily see that. I don't think it's particularly a Christian viewpoint, but I don't see it as particularly an Antichrist.
Have you ever read the line in the Bible? And I'm not so great at chapter and verse, but there's a line in the Bible where God says that you profane me, killing people who should not die and allowing people to live who should not live. God said that. He says you profane me.
Right. And I would agree with that.
Okay, but so Governor Ryan...
Let me put in a little question on that, because I heard one of your other callers, and you made the remark that he voted for the murderers.
Oh, well,
and
yeah. And
it was kind of like a tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it kind of came out wrong.
Well,
let me ask you the question,
Joe. He was out for the innocent.
Hey, Joe.
He was standing up for the innocent.
Okay.
That may be there unjustly.
Okay,
that
so
might
Joe
have been murdered unjustly.
Joe, I want to ask you the question. What is the greater crime on the part of a governing official? To execute one innocent man or to allow 100 murderers to live?
To execute, I agree with the execution of an innocent man.
So to execute one innocent man is worse than allowing 100 murderers to live?
It is.
So let's just say we've got
George Ryan shouldn't have ever been put in that position. What should have happened is the courts failed. You know, they have to make sure that anybody who's on death row deserves to be there without a question, without a reasonable doubt at all.
Okay. All right. So two votes for George Ryan's philosophy. And my philosophy, my gut on this... And I'm maybe going to find some scripture to back this up. I hope so. I think it's a greater crime on the part of a governing official to allow 100 men to live, murderers to live, than to execute one innocent man.
Now, I would if George Ryan had done something else and freed them all, then I would have been totally up in arms.
Well, what's to say he hasn't freed them all?
Different.
And anyway, the Bible doesn't talk about freeing them. It says, when you let them live, you profane me. By letting them live, he's profaned the living God. That's pretty spiritual to me. This is like spiritual warfare.
But
it's us against George Ryan.
For the sake of...
Okay, let me tell you how I've come to this, and you just will talk through this, and you tell me if I'm just totally off base. If a governing official like Governor George Ryan, who presides over a justice system, let's say that an innocent man is executed while George Ryan sits in the governor's chair. Has George Ryan murdered that man?
Yes.
No, he has not murdered that man. No, what's happened is it's an involuntary manslaughter. George Ryan bears some culpability in the execution of an innocent man, but the execution of an innocent man is not murder by the governor. Unless a prosecutor specifically undermines and sets somebody up and to cause them to be executed, then that would be murder. But if a justice system operating on the best facts that they can get, one way or another, an innocent man is executed, that's not murder.
How about if the justice system comes up with new evidence or a new way of gathering evidence, new evidence that could prove them innocent.
Well, what if my mother had wings? She'd be a plane. You know, that's all what if. And what we've got here staring us in the face, Joe, is 100 or more murderers in Illinois are going to be allowed to live and profane the living God every single day when they wake up in the morning and when they eat their breakfast. They're profaning God.
Yeah.
And all because George Ryan claims that he couldn't bear the thought of one innocent person being executed.
Well, see, and I disagree with him just doing a blanket commutation of what it should have, because I understand there are people that would admit they're guilty, and anybody whose guilt is quite apparent and, all the cases should have been reviewed that way, and anybody who was definitely guilty without a reasonable doubt should have stayed on death row. And anybody who there was some question or there could have been DNA tests should have had a commuter sentence in effect for 6 months while that evidence was done.
Well, here's
something like that would have been much better.
Okay, well, I can see that you're arguing with the process or you know, the administration of this thing, and that, you know, I could argue that as well, but I want to really try to go to a deeper issue. When we talk about 100 murderers, okay, when you allow 100 murderers to live, how many lives have you impacted negatively? How many lives? How many people won't be able to sleep at night? How many people are going to wrestle now with their anger and their frustration and their desire for vengeance against this guy? How many people are going to have nervous breakdowns? Because the guy who killed their daughter, who they thought was going to be executed, now he's not. How many lives has Illinois Governor George Ryan destroyed by allowing 100 murderers to live? I would posit to you that it's incalculable, the damage that he's done.
Well, I do have a comment on that, and that is, if those people do not seek the Lord, cannot find forgiveness in their hearts in the sense of releasing the murderer into the hands of God. Isn't there examples of where Paul says, especially about a father who is sexually involved with his daughter in one of the churches, he says, give him over to Satan.
Right.
Allow Satan to destroy him.
Okay. Wait, Joe. It just sounded like, and I'm sure I'm wrong about this, that you said that the people who have this desire for vengeance, they need to get over it. And they need to somehow...
They need to put their trust in the Lord.
Put their trust in the Lord. You know how you put your trust in the Lord? By sending this guy who killed your daughter to meet the Lord. How about that? That's turn him over to Satan.
That is not supposed to be vengeance. That is supposed to be justice.
How can God exercise... Hold on, Joe. How can God exercise his vengeance if we keep the scumbag alive in prison? It's Bob Enyart Live. We'll be right back. It's Bob Enyart Live, and these are live commercials right here on the live broadcast. I want to tell you about a few videos. We were talking early in the show about some of the good old days back in the day on TV with Bob Enyart Live. Well, there's three particular videotapes that I would recommend to anyone who wants to find out a little bit more about exactly where this ministry comes from and exactly what this ministry has produced. Three telephone calls that came into Bob Enyart's television show. One was a young heathen named Amy, and the video is called Amy's Call. And Bob was a little bit abrasive with her, a little bit of tough love, I think, he was sending out Amy's way. And you got to check it out, folks. If you ever wonder, how do I witness to someone who's just completely in a state of hating God and rebellion? How can I witness to them? Is there any hope? Well, you may find some tactics in Amy's Call that might surprise you and might help you to be a more effective witness for Jesus Christ. And then there's Terry's Call. All of us have opportunities to witness to homosexuals. In fact, depressingly, more and more, we're having opportunity after opportunity to witness to homosexuals because they're frankly pouring out of the closet left and right, and we just can't stem the tide for some reason. Anyways, so there's an awful lot of homosexuals out there, and they're headed straight to hell with jet rockets, and we all want to try to do something. Well, pick up Terry's call. If there's a homosexual in your life who you might want to lead to the Lord, of course you want to lead him to the Lord. You want to get him to repent. Well, pick up Terry's call. Find out how a real solid Christian who's not ashamed of the gospel witnesses to a raging, flaming homosexual who's on his way to killing himself and going to hell. And find out what can happen when you take the time to care about a low-life homosexual and one actually repents. It's incredible. The video is very uplifting and very emotional, and it's a great, great video. By the way, these videos are only $20 a piece. Pick up all three of them. Send us $60. The third one is Megan's call. This is, if I'm not mistaken, Megan was another young, raging heathen who thought that Bob was too mean. And, well, if you've had to deal with people who think that maybe God or the Bible is just too strict and too mean, and it's very prudish and very stuffy and old-fashioned, and you need to know how to witness to these people, well, pick up all three of these videos and sharpen up your witnessing skills. Amy's call, Terry's call, Megan's call, they're all available for immediate delivery. $20 for each, or a big discount. We'll give you three for $60. We'll be right back. We won't be right back. We are right back. Now, do we want to go back to Joe? Because I did a live commercial, and now I'm not sure where I left that off. I'll pick Joe. Are you still there? Joe's on too, so I'll put this on hold, and then I'll hit line two. Joe.
Yes.
All right. Now, I had to do a live commercial in between there, so I'm not exactly sure where we left it off, but maybe you can just continue.
Well, you're going to tell me. See, this is what I mean about a faith-based show. I don't mind discussing political issues, but as long as the scripture is brought in, and it doesn't seem most of the time scripture is really brought in.
Oh, I see. Well, do you have a scripture reference that says it's okay to let a murderer live?
No.
Okay, well, how about this? How about Proverbs 17:15? He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. How about Proverbs 17:15?
But the murderers are not let free. They're still condemned to death in prison, but they have to live there longer.
Okay, but you know that prison is, in and of itself, it's completely unbiblical, because if you search the scripture for scriptures validating prison, you won't find any, because there are none. Prison is evil. Prison is man acting as God. Only God has the right.
Are we to go back to stoning?
I wouldn't mind stoning, although hanging is quite effective. The guillotine is a little bit messy, but you know, and firing squads, they're quite effective. I mean,
how about crucifixions?
Crucifixions? No, I don't think crucifixion. No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody deserves that. No way. No. But yeah, stoning would be fine with me. You know, I've got a letter that Governor George Ryan wrote to the victims' families that I want to get to and read, and I'm kind of running out of time, Joe. I got a couple more callers that I want to pick up, but I want to ask you, Joe, just real quick before I let you go, who is Jesus Christ?
Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son, the only Son of God, the only God.
And what did he do?
What did he do? He died, and he saved us. He bought us God with a price, a heavy price.
All right. Hey, you know what, Joe? We agree on an awful lot of stuff, and just by what you just said, you've raised the spiritual element of the show, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to hear you guys say more of it.
Well, Joe, you stay tuned, all right?
I will do.
God bless, man. We'll be in touch.
All right,
now let's try to go to Mark in Rochester.
Doug.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's it going up in Rochester, man?
It's real snowy and cold.
Yeah, last time I was up there, I was in Buffalo, man. They landed in a foot of snow. It was terrifying.
Yeah, that's a baby snowstorm. Hey, listen, Doug.
Yeah.
Would you deprive God of 50 souls if those 100 murderers, if half of them turn their lives around?
Okay.
Give their life to Christ.
Okay, now Mark.
Would you deny that to God?
No way. In fact, I want that to happen.
Okay, well, here's my position.
Okay.
I believe that killing one innocent man is more of a sin than to... See, you're portraying that we're letting 100 murderers go free. We're not.
Well, we're letting
them
live.
I'm sure that the ones we're letting, that he did let go free, were innocent men.
Oh, sure, yeah. You want to bet, Mark? I'll bet you within the next 5 years, one of those four guys kills someone else. You want to bet?
I don't know, Doug.
I'll be willing to bet you $100
I
right
know
now.
Back in the 70s that Cook County in Illinois was one of the most corrupt counties. You had prosecutors framing people. And I'm sure that this governor thought this out from his heart, and he believed that some of these men, if there was tainted evidence, how can you send them to their death?
Hey, Mark, wait. I don't think he did it from his heart. I think that the Illinois governor did this to curry favor with the anti-death penalty leftists in his state, because he's going to be going on trial here pretty soon. Were you aware of that?
I was aware of that, but I'm trying not to look at that. I'm trying to look at...
Well, you need to look at it because George Ryan looked at it, and he decided the only way to make myself bulletproof is to become an icon of the anti-death penalty movement. And I'll tell you something, Mark, he would have taken any movement that had come along. This just happened to be convenient. This isn't from his heart. It's completely wicked. It's antichrist. It's a sign that America is on its way to hell in a handbasket. And Illinois Governor Ryan, he needs to be indicted. He needs to go on trial. And now let me get back to your point, Mark. You said, would I deprive God of 50 souls if 50 out of the 100 turn their lives around? Right?
Yes, I said I asked you that.
So do you think that locking a man up in prison for the rest of his life is a more effective evangelical tool than telling him that 3 days from now you are going to meet Jesus Christ? Which do you think is a more effective evangelical tool?
Well, I believe that if you're going to send him to see Christ, that he's not ready.
Well, we'll give him 3 days, man. What do you want? They can get ready. I'm interested that you came up with this this equation of half of these guys might turn their life around, because you know the Bible has an example of a man facing the death penalty or a group of men facing the death penalty, mm-hmm. and two of them or half of them repent.
I know, but you also asked the earlier.
Well, let me just make that clear for the audience. When Jesus was on the cross, there were two criminals being executed with him.
Correct.
One of them repented, one of them didn't. That's 50-50. That's probably the best we can hope for with these heathens.
Yep.
So
now
I say, we tell them all that not only are we not going to let you free, but all your appeals are finished, and 3 days from now, you're all going to die at the hands of the state in a very judicious and clinical way. You're all going to die, and I'll bet you right around half of them would repent.
Okay.
But if you lock a man up and leave him in prison, which locking a man up in prison is unjust on its face, no matter what he's done, it's unjust to lock a man up for the rest of his life. So by putting someone through an unjust punishment day after day throughout his life, how could that ever encourage repentance? Uh-oh, Mark?
Doug, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, listen, you had made a statement earlier to the earlier caller about, you know, does the Bible say let murderers go free, correct?
Okay.
Or something to that reference. Who was Paul?
Who was Paul?
Yeah.
Paul was formerly Saul, who persecuted the church and threew the Christians into prison, some of whom I'm sure were executed, making Paul a murderer.
I'm sure he fed a few to the lions, correct?
Right. I'm sure. Yeah,
okay.
And I'm sure that Paul was a murderer, but guess what? Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus.
Right.
He's one of the few people who met Jesus Christ after the ascension and lived.
I understand. I know your time is short, but I just want to share this with you, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm retired from the New York State Department of Corrections. The government's stance on the death penalty of error rate is 4%. That means we'll kill 4 innocent for every 96 guilty.
Well, first of all, I don't buy that.
No, it is.
Well, how do you know?
I spent my whole career with the Department of Corrections. In my last 8 years, I worked for the law library.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can banter back and forth about statistics.
But I just want to share this with you, is the fact that I've always felt, instead of the death penalty, I always wanted to enact a choice law
mm-hmm.
that if you were convicted of a crime, you had a choice. If it was a capital crime, you could choose the death penalty, or you could choose life in prison. That way, if you were innocent, you had a whole lifetime to prove your innocence while you were behind bars.
Well,
that
okay.
way it takes it off human. I truly believe that only God has that right.
Well, and I believe that too, and that's why I see the death of the innocent. The death of the innocent, although it is a sad thing, it's something to be lamented if it does happen. But to assume, you know, I just assume that if an innocent man is executed, that God is going to sort all that out and he's going to make it right when we get to the other side. But
what
see,
about the innocent victims of that innocent person who was executed? What about the suffering they have to endure?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What about the one innocent man who's killed? What about his children?
Well,
they
his children will be affected negatively, his wife, his family, they'd all be affected negatively, but that doesn't compare to the hundreds of thousands of people who will be affected by Governor Ryan's decision and the hundreds, possibly, whose lives will be destroyed. Hey, I appreciate the call, Mark. I got to get on to another call.
How many men have we let out of prison because of DNA testing?
Well, I appreciate the call.
Okay, Doug, God
Mark.
Bless you.
Hey, call me back, Mark. I got to get my callers in before the end. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, so now what do I do here? I just hit the other line, and let's go to Nate.
Hey, Doug, I just want to ask talk about that last caller.
Yeah, now, Mark from Rochester?
No, from Colorado.
Oh, no, you want to talk to me about Mark, or you want to talk to me about the other guy?
Well, first about Mark.
Oh, okay.
He said that he wanted to invoke a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was that in the Bible? I heard the Bible said put him to death.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, the choice is supposed to be up to the judge as to what to do, not the convicted.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that? You make a crime, and then you get to decide what happens.
Wait, but you know
that.
What I like is that Mark is thinking this through, and me and Mark are sitting here, and we're not talking about the NFL playoffs tonight.
Yeah.
We're talking about issues that really matter, and you know, me and Mark, we might be apart on a few issues, but and just like the other caller before, we're apart on a few issues, but we have one foundation in Christ, and so we're all gonna realize the truth, and I think it's great to discuss it with Mark, but yeah, that was a pretty lousy idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then also that Joe guy, I forget what he was talking about, but he wasn't making much sense either. They don't have any biblical basis for what they're saying.
Right. Well, let me put the question to you, Nate. And I don't. You know, what's a greater sin or a crime for a governing official, to allow 100 murderers to live or to execute an innocent man?
I would say it's definitely to allow 100 murderers to live. I mean, like
right.
that Bible verse you quoted earlier. It says, "You profane me by keeping those alive that should not live."
That's right. And to release convicted murderers and to commute all these sentences in the face of overwhelming evidence does great damage to the justice system, which is going to cost us far more than one innocent life. And to scrap an entire justice system on the fear that you might execute one innocent man, I feel is unreasonable.
Yeah. And when God made the death penalty, he knew that, like in the Bible, God says you should do the death penalty. And when he made that law, he knew that it would be human judges who would decide whether or not someone was guilty.
He did, so he knew there's probably a chance that we'd make a mistake.
Yeah, and he still, in all of his wisdom, decided that we should have the death penalty. So
praise the Lord. All right, Nate comes in at the end, speaking the truth. All right.
Thank you. I got to go.
All right, thanks for the call. Call us back any old time.
I will.
All right, we're come to the end of the program, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to figure out how to hang up the phone. Well, I'll just leave it going there. Anyway, we're to the end of the show, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank Bob Enyart for giving me the gracious opportunity to fill in for him. I want to wish blessings on everyone out there. I wanted to mention, if you're in Denver, Saturday, 1:30 p.m., west side of the Capitol, 30th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, show up and speak for the unborn. This is Doug McBurney reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.